Indeed. Let me invite you to open up your Bibles, particularly to the third chapter of Philippians. And while you're turning there or scrolling there, would you just pause and help me thank God as they're taking their seats for our choir, particularly our PT, our wild kids who are in praise today. Oh, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. Help me thank God for them. Always wonderful to have the choir in service, to our media personnel, our greeters at the door, to our musicians, all of you. God bless you. Thank you for all that you do, particularly those who are behind the scenes, because God uses you in a very special way, and I thank you for that. Now, I'm looking over there, and I see my son's on the camera. I don't know whether or not to pray harder or... Thank you so much, son, for your service, and all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's just good to be here. How many enjoyed that song? How many enjoyed that song? May that be our testimony, that we're just trying to tell everybody about who saves our soul. You took me back to the Williams brothers back in the day. And they used to say it that way. I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody. And I did it right. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody. There it is, who saved my soul. And so we definitely want to live that out in our lives because God wants to use you. Help me talk to your neighbor just for a moment. Say, hey, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. God wants to use you to help others to know just how much he loves each and every one of us. I hope you made your way to the third chapter of Philippians, where our message for the morning is coming from. As we've been journeying in our series for the year, Vision 2020, following Jesus every day, our journey now takes us, as we continue to look at the letter that Paul writes to the believers in Philippi back then, and it is still relevant to believers now, today, as he continues to write. Look at what he writes in that third chapter. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Paul continues on in his writings. In verse 8, he says, indeed, I count everything loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ and righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him. Somebody say, know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And as we direct our whole attention to the truth of your word, we ask that you would open our minds, that our hearts and minds be receptive soil for the seed of your word, that through our lives it might produce fruit, that we might know you even more, that we might grow in you even more, that we might be more Christ-like each and every day that we strive to follow you, and that through our lives, others may know you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Knowing is worth it all. Knowing is worth it all. Alphonse, I was listening just recently to an interview where the late Kobe Bryant was being interviewed. And during the interview, the interviewer was marveling about his discipline to the game. And Kobe began to really enumerate all the goats that he knew and looked up to in his life. For those who are not NBA players or NBA fans, I'm not talking about the animals, okay? I'm not talking about the animals. But those who are the greatest of all times. He began to list Brother Ronnie, Will Chamberlain, and Hakeem Olajuwon, and Hakeem Abdul-Jabbar. He began to mention Larry Bird. And of course, you know, he mentioned number 23. Who's that? All right, I know. Here's my NBA players right here. Everybody else, y'all come a little later, all right? What was interesting about the interview is that the late Kobe would talk about how even as a young child, he would look up to these star players of the game. And he aspired to learn disciplines from the star players because he wanted to be himself a star player. Now, I get you. I know some of you aren't basketball fans, and that's okay. That's all right. You may prefer the game, my game of choice. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like football, Will. I like it. You know, I think all the Saints should always pray for Saints personally. But I like football. But you know, my sport of choice really is boxing. My sport of choice is boxing, and I love heavyweight boxing. I'm just looking forward to the day with Dante Wilder and your boy are going to connect together. I'm looking forward to that day. How we hadn't gotten there just yet. We hadn't gotten there just yet. We're looking forward to it. Dante Wilder is a U.S. brother. And so I like boxing, but when I listen to their interview, when they're trying to be the best at the game, when they're trying to be the best at the sports, Mom, good to see you. He'd always speak of those who came before. He talked about Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, for those of you who know that, Jack Dempsey, and how he was hard-hitting. He always talks about George Foreman, who is considered the hardest hitter. And y'all don't watch boxing? I mean, he's a pastor in the city. I mean, George Foreman. Wilder was talking about all those who went before the time and who were great at it, and how he modeled himself after those who had already proven greatness. Come here, I'm just trying to help you understand something. And so the Apostle Paul writes to the believers at Philippi. He writes to the believers from a place of bondage. He's in bondage, and yet he's writing to these Philippian believers, and he's writing to them about what it takes to truly live the blessed life. I love this time as you look into the text, because you know the context of the text is such that Paul is writing to people who have liberty that he himself no longer has. He's writing to people who have more flexibility and freedom than he has. And yet he's writing from a perspective that he is filled with hope. And he's hoping that they too will have this same hope as they live their lives. And he points for them who they should be focusing. He points to them who they should be looking at. He points to them who they should be modeling. And Sunday school, if this was a Sunday school class, you would know the answer. Who should we model? I knew some of you. Some of you, you need to go to life group. I heard you. You were kind of quiet right around there. Life group's at 9:30. But I thought all my life group teachers would have just, you know, got to give a brother amen or something right around there. But he's pointing to Christ. And in pointing, he's identifying to all of us as believers that to truly live the life that's worth living, that we should focus on the good news of knowing Christ. I'm going to work here for a moment. That we should direct our attention to learning more and more about Jesus Christ. He begins that way by saying the conclusion of the matter. He's talking to believers, and he says, brothers and sisters, here's where he starts. If you want to know Christ, he says, you got to learn how to rejoice in the Lord. Do you see it there? It's in your Bibles if you didn't cut it out. It's right there. He says, rejoice in the Lord. He says, I don't mind repeating this to you. See, you thought I was the only preacher that was repetitious? No. Paul says, I don't mind repeating this to you because it's for your safety, that believers ought to remember that there is safety in rejoicing. That if we really want to live the life that God has called us to live, if we're committed to and commissioned to walking in the steps that God has called us to walk in, it's important that as believers, get this, we have to realize that we have a reason for rejoicing. Oh, hold on. I thought I had some believers in here. Let me pause, press stop, rewind, and then press play. For those of you who don't know what that is, just skip back on the track. No, you still don't get that. Okay, tap two times on the YouTube screen so you can scroll back just a little bit more. You with me now? You with me now? Okay, there it is. Let me tell you, because sometimes the reason we don't realize just how blessed we are is because things happen in our lives that can cause us to be so distracted that we actually believe, get this, start to believe that God hasn't blessed us. Oh, you have to say, man, it's okay. I know I've been living a little while now. I know that sometimes in life, things can happen in this life that will catch you off guard. Things can happen that as you, before you least expect it, here things are going well and things are going so well that we forget who provides the good things in our lives, and all of a sudden things seem to be derailed. Has anybody in here ever had a problem? Oh, you're looking at you like you had made in the shade with a glass of lemonade. Let me talk to some real folk for a moment here. Anybody ever been between a rock and a hard place? Anybody ever been somewhere so low that looked like nobody knew where you were and you didn't see up from where you were? Anybody ever been there before? And then all of a sudden, Mike, you know how it is, right? Because we start to feel like we have that thing going on. We're going good in life. And it's when we fall down and we look up and say, hey, God, where are you? I'm mindful, you know. Coolest in the galaxy. Young man reading the Bible right there. Yeah, coolest in the galaxy. Yeah. I see you. How old are you, young man? How old are you? Boy, I wish I could see him right now. What's his name? Jaden. Let me show you how you can learn from Jaden if you want to rejoice in the Lord. Check out Jaden, man. Jaden, like, nah, I don't want you to check me out. Because if you're looking from my perspective, Jaden is teaching us something right here, Curtis. I hope you see this. You see, Jaden's just like this here. He's not looking around at anything. He's hidden behind the word of God. I'm trying to help you understand something here. He's hidden behind the word of God, because anytime you cover yourself with the word of God, you have a reason to rejoice. One of the reasons we have to rejoice, Ronnie, is because no matter where we are, when you are in the Lord, you know that whatever you're in, you're not in it by yourself. I hope I was talking to somebody right there. That when you are in the Lord, you have a reason to rejoice, because whatever you are in, you're not in it by yourself. Maybe you're not catching this. It was Paul House. Paul House and his work on Bonhoeffer, and particularly Bonhoeffer's vision for seminary. In that third chapter, the first line of the third chapter is where Paul House writes. He says, the way Christians think about God determines how they think about everything else. Because sometimes the reason we are inhibited from rejoicing is because our thinking about God isn't accurate to the character of God. Can I work for a moment here? Sometimes the reason we are retarded or restricted from rejoicing is because some of us have the wrong concept about the God who John says is a God of love, to the degree that we listen to Lottie Dottie and everybody who misrepresent God as being some cosmic bellhop that you can only call when you get in trouble. Or sometimes we misunderstand who God is, so we see him as some judge that is watching over you, taking a list of everything you do wrong so he can hold it against you. Well, if that's your God, then I understand why you have trouble rejoicing. Oh, but when you're introduced to the God of gods, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when you come to grips with the reality that God loves you. Oh, I don't know what to say about these folk. They I may not be deep, may not be profound, Father, but I hope they catch this. Let me say it one more time. That God, who created everything, God who's so holy that he's apart from all of his creation, God who is infinite, is able to look down on the finite and see us in a situation that our sins put us in, and instead of pushing us off or casting us away, no, God looks at us and grabs us like a parent does a child when they're in trouble, brings us closer to himself, to his heart, so that we can know that he loves us. That God, that God who loves you so much that he'd come down to earth to be with you, to save you as Christ Jesus, Yeshua, in the flesh. He came and gave his life out of love for you and I, that when we call upon him, he won't hold our sins against us. That God, that God who says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. That God, when people walk out on you, the same God who says, I'll still be with you. That's the God I'm talking about. The God who, when you call in the day of trouble, he'll say, I'll hear you. That God. Oh, you're not with me just yet. Well, let me talk to a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 long years. She had an issue, and when nobody else wanted to help her with her issue, she crawled on her hands and knees to touch the hem of his garment, and the power from him got in her and healed her. I'm talking about that God. You still not with me just yet here. When the fishermen were messing up in their business, and their business wasn't as profitable as they needed it to be, Jesus on the shore said, have you caught anything? He's such a good God that he got in the boat with them. I hope you caught that right there. That he got in the boat with them and said, have you tried the other side? And God being God called the fish that God created to jump in a net that the men put together, and the men had more fish than they ever had before. And then they got on their knees and said, my Lord and my God. I'm talking about that God. When you know God personally, you know of his love. When you know God personally, you realize he is our reason for rejoicing. Unless, of course, you haven't done anything wrong in life. Teenagers, look around. I just want. If you haven't done anything wrong in life, let me see you. Just go and be honest and stand up. I want to know who you are, so we can pray for you about lying. I'm just. Yeah. But when you know God, you know the love that's unlike any other. Kind of love that Paul talks about in Romans. He says, nothing can separate me from the love of God. That love that brings forgiveness when you know him. And that's why we rejoice. Rejoice because God doesn't hold our sins against us. I hope you know to rejoice about that. Let me talk to some real folk in here who still got some dirt on their shoulders, who still have some skeletons, you know, not even in the closet. They came to church with you. And you know that God forgives you. I don't know about you all, but I'm just so glad that God loves me so much that he don't hold me against me, but he forgives me when I call upon him, because the blood of Christ, there's no sin the blood of Christ cannot erase. There's no sin the blood of Christ cannot cleanse. There's no stain the blood of Christ cannot renew. I hope you understand this, because anybody in Christ, they are a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So when somebody try to remind you about who you used to be, you could turn and say, I thank God I'm not what I used to be. If you knew me back then, look at me now. This is all the grace of God. Because, Bill, the truth is, if I was who I used to be, I might have told you some stuff that I used to tell you. And the fact I didn't tell you that tells you that's evidence that there's God. So Paul tells the Philippian believers, he says, rejoice. I hope you get this. Rejoice in the Lord. It's really speaking in a present perfect kind of tense, which means continue to rejoice. You're not getting it just yet. Continue to rejoice means sometimes things happen in our lives that take away from our rejoicing. Sometimes there's settings and situation in life that causes us to not necessarily feel like rejoicing. Sometimes a choir can be singing with all their might, and there's some folk who just don't feel like rejoicing. Sometimes the worship leader can be standing up in front of everyone and the preacher can be preaching until he's sweating in the face. And some folks, some of y'all, don't feel like rejoicing. Because rejoicing is to remember again how good God has been to you. This is personal right here. It causes you to think back and remember all that God has done for you. See, no one else can rejoice for you. Only you can rejoice for you. If you have some tenure with God, you understand what I'm saying here, that God is worthy to be praised, not just in the good days, but when you're in the Lord, God can show you some good things even in the bad days. He's worthy to be praised. That even if my neighbor don't feel like praising him, God done enough for me already that I don't mind praising him. But God is worthy to be He's worthy to be praised. We've got to realize he is the reason for our praise. But then Paul continues in the writing. I hope you didn't close your Bibles there. He continues in the writing because before brothers in the hood used to call each other dogs. Yeah, the old school preacher who had a famous sermon, you might want to look at it one time. His sermon was, "Watch them dogs." But come here, let me talk to you about the text. Because Paul knows that sometimes there are people who are on assignment from the enemy to try to steal, detract from, and take away your joy. Don't look at nobody right now. Just look at me. Just look at me. Just look at me. But sometimes, I know you don't know it right now. There are some haters high on hater rate. They're looking for you. They're tracking you down. Their whole job, their whole ministry is to take joy from you. I know. Just come on. Come on. Come on, Tupac. All eyes on me. Sometimes there are forces, Sonia, that are destined to try to get in your way that you will stop seeing and stop having the joy that God would have for you to have, because the enemy knows that if the people of God lose their joy, then nothing attracts anyone else to be a part of the body of Christ. That if the people of God lose their hope, lose their joy, lose their connection with God, then why would anybody else want to be a part of the body of Christ? And that's why the Bible says, Shannon, you ought to be on guard. That's what the Bible says. He says, look out for dogs. You can say it. It's not a curse word. It's in the Bible. Look out for what? Look out for the dogs. Now, for those of you who are smart people, and those of you who understand God's gifts, and are not cat people, you might have a four-legged friend, a four-legged family member. Any dog lovers? Any dog lovers? Any dog lovers? All right. Will, you need a dog, bro. I'm just saying. Any dog lovers? Look. A dog is a man's. I'm trying to tell you. I got a dog. He's been with me. He's about this high. He's been with me for a while. That's you know what? If nobody else want to talk to me in the house, no, don't get me committed. I didn't say the dog comes talk to me. But he'll greet me. There's never been a time my dog did not want to come and greet me. Never been a time my dog was too tired to come and hang with me. Never been a time my dog was too grown, teenager dog, to come and hang with me for a little while. But that's not the kind of dog that Paul is referring to in this text. No. He's talking about flea-bitten, mangy, diseased. You're not with me just yet. Here's the deal. You got to understand here. I know some of you sometimes you disconnect, and it's okay. I understand because some of these things don't relate to you, but I understand because it's not your responsibility to preach to everybody in the congregation. So I understand when you disconnect, but I want you to understand that you are not the only one in here. I have some people who've been in here for a long time. I get it. I have some people who grew up in church for a long time. Yes, I get that. I have some people who just came to church for the first time today. I get that too. And I have some kids in here that's from third grade on up that says, hey, look here, I don't know anything about hermeneutics. I don't know anything about exegesis. So come on and bring it down to my level. That's who I'm talking to right now. You got it? Okay. I'm talking to you right now because, hey, you saw Lion King? These dogs he's talking about here, bring your mind back to Lion King, you know, Hakuna Matata. Before that, there was a group of hyenas who were trying to get him. You know, it was Shanzi and Banti, and what's that third one called? Ed, I heard somebody said, and Ed, yeah, him. When you read dogs in the text, that's really what they're talking about. Talking about anyone who's designed to try to kill your destiny, anyone who's trying to come after you to destroy what God has for you. These are the dogs. They really were Judaizers in the text. They were called Judaizers in the text because they tried to add to what it took to be in Christ Jesus. See, what they tried to do was try to say that relationship was not enough. That having a relationship with Jesus Christ was not enough. They wanted to add to that. They wanted to do what some religions do, you know, add to it. You got to accept Christ, but you also got to do this, you got to do that, you got to be on the motherhood board, you got to be a part of deacon ministry. If you want to really, nothing against deacons, I love y'all deacons, don't get me wrong. But they wanted to add to it, Sonia. And so what they were trying to do was add works on top of a gift that God had already given to his church. Get this, they're the Jews and they have Jewish descent, and in their minds they thought that anybody who was going to follow Christ and be in the family of God had to be just like them. Don't look at nobody right now, but you know some people like that, don't you? They were putting ritual over relationship. And what Paul says is when you see such teachers who are trying to pull you away from God, understand that such people, yes, people are not from God. I hope you catch this. Because any relationship that you have, if they're not bringing you closer to Christ, they're not from Christ. Any friendships you have that are not connecting you closer to the things of God, they're not from God. Can I sit next to you for a moment? Any practices you have that don't center your mind on God, it's not a practice that glorifies God. He says you got to watch out for them. Yeah, man, actually, he illustrates them three ways. He says they're dogs. Right? And then he turns and he says that not only are they dogs, but they are evildoers, which means everything they do, everything they produce is evil. And you got to be careful, brothers and sisters, because the truth is, yes, today is a day where I want you to go through your phone and begin to mark out those folk who meet these criteria. Here it is right here. You ready for it? You ready for it? They got dog-like qualities. They're evildoers. And they're mutilators of the flesh. I wish I had some time, Brother George. I would park right there with that dog-like qualities, you know, because like chihuahuas, they nip, and yap. But they ain't good for nothing but making noise. If you got folk like that in your life, you might want to realize they ain't from God. You know, dog-like qualities. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying you got them. I'm just saying that, you know, some folk like dog-like qualities. You know, the kind of dog that just sit on the stoop, don't do nothing, ain't got no job, don't bring nothing in the house. They just sit there. You can't claim on your taxes. They just sit there. They're so lazy, you throw them a bone, you got to go and put the bone right by their mouth in order for them to get them. They got people like that. You know, they just sit down in the church, don't do nothing, don't say nothing. They just, every now and then they growl or they howl or they howl at the moon and they howling and howling. And when they howl, all the other dogs around start howling with them. Man, I just went off text. That's for that sermon. You better watch them dogs right here. Hear me, brothers and sisters. You gotta watch out for joy detractors. And when you see someone who is sent by Satan to steal your joy, it is your job to turn your attention not on them or their schemes, but turn your attention on your Savior. Because anytime you turn your attention on the Savior, it doesn't matter what they're trying to scheme. Because we serve the kind of God who's so much God that when folk try to backstab you, y'all don't know what that is, but y'all gonna learn a little bit later. Try to backstab you, God is so good, he'll not show them where to put the knife. God is so good that when folk try to lay traps for you, God will be the bridge over troubled waters. God is so good that when you focus on him, it doesn't matter what Satan plans for you, God already has it worked out for you, and you just gotta keep following him. And so then Paul goes on. He said, yeah, watch out for those detractors. He says, the reason he says you watch out, because we are of the circumcision. He says, we are the circumcision. He says, worshipers of God in the spirit. Here it is. And what defines a worshiper of God? They put no confidence in the flesh. And then Paul says, you got to remember, when you believe in God, you have reason to rejoice in God. And as you rejoice in God, you watch out for those who try to stop you from rejoicing. And as you watch out for them, don't forget that your job, your life, is to be a worshiper. Somebody say a worshiper. That means you learn to worship God in spirit and in truth, that you understand that God is holy and we are not. I hope you caught that. That God is sitting on the throne of our lives, and he's so much God that he'll do for you what no one else can do for you. That's why you worship him, that you lift him up, that you exalt him, that you praise him. Because I don't know about you, I know that somebody in here could testify that God has been good to you. Maybe I can help you out this way. Hey, fellas, you know, when I was your age, I tried to learn how to ride a bike. Not a motorbike. It was a little later. I tried to learn how to ride a bike. And this bike that I had was a 10 speed. But as you can see from my stature, that I wasn't always 10 speed tall. And so I was on this bike. But man, I didn't really know how to ride the bike. My uncle who saw me just falling all down in the road. He just falling all down in the road. He said, boy, let me help you learn how to ride the bike. Now, they ain't the kind of people that coddle you. He wasn't the kind of people. No, this is a Vietnam vet. He was like, man, look here, put a little spin on that, get on the bike. You get. I had a flashback. I'm sorry. Get on the bike. And there, I was trying to ride this bike, and he was holding on to the bike. I thought I was doing real good, you know. It felt like I had it. Oh, I was doing it on my own. He was holding on to the bike. So after a while, it seemed like he let go, because I felt like I got a little wiggle in that thing. And I was feeling real good about myself at that point. I was ready. I was riding the bike. I was ready. I said, yeah, I got it. All of a sudden, I heard a word that said, boy, put your hands back on the... Put your back on the handlebar. And I put my back on the handlebar, and I grab a hold of it. He said, you celebrating, but I still got the bike. Come here, I'm trying to help you understand something. Trying to help you understand something here, that when you walk with God and you live with God and you focus on God, you'll never forget that no matter where you are, as you celebrate, it's God who's been holding on to you. It's God who has been keeping you. It's God who's been guiding you. And when you feel like you're about to fall, it's God who's there to catch you. So then Paul says, So why put confidence in the flesh? He then lays out his resume, if you would. Said he was the Hebrew of Hebrews. That for zeal, he was so connected and committed to the work of God that at one point he was wrong in his ambition to try to step out this movement called the People of the Way or Christianity. He said he studied with the best. He knew the Torah. But he didn't know God. I hope you catch this, brothers and sisters. He says, because if you're going to give your life to anything, give your life to the best thing. Because the only thing that's worth giving your life to is to God himself. He made you. He created you. He has a purpose for you. He's calling you to come to him. And what I love about God and all his holiness is that as holy as God is, he still welcomes us to come into his presence. Just like you are, you can come. Doesn't matter where you're from, you can come. Because what's worth everything, this is what Paul says. He says, I count everything as loss that I might know God and the power of his resurrection. You know what resurrection is, right? Is the ability that God has to bring anything that was dead back to life. You know what resurrection is, right? It doesn't matter what Satan tries to kill, steal, and destroy. When God has resurrection power living through your life, that's nothing that God can't bring back to life. I hope you caught that. Because that's relationships that you know that God needs to bring back to life. Might be some dreams and hopes that you need God to bring back to life. It begins with you saying yes to him. In fact, if you can, stand all over the building.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.